Today on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
In the news, Virgin America says you can use your phone on their flights, but wait until you hear the prices.
Well, as you can tell, Mark is roaming the wide open spaces of Hawaii. He really is, folks. Now we check in with him from the forbidden island of Molokai.
And at 2:35, the rental car companies are finding out new ways to stick it to you. We've got a list of things to look out for and a heads up on a new kind of travel scam directed at those who crave points and miles.
One of the biggest events of the year is in our city next weekend, and I'll have the scoop for you at 2:50.
All that on a busy day, live from Sacramento and Hawaii on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man,
king of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I'm on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Tom Romano here at our fabulous rundown studios next to Cal Expo, which we are going to blow up in about 5 weeks and move to our new place. But there's a place that's always beautiful and one of Mark Hoffman's favorites, I think a lot of folks. And he is in Hawaii. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you, sir. Roughing it and working here in the islands. There are worse places to be, I assure you.
Now, first of all, I think people need to understand that Mark is on a mission. He is out seeking out new places to go and fun things to do on the islands. This isn't one of your normal sports leisure vacation trips.
No, it isn't. It's not even a – those, I guess, people who do what I do for a living don't really go on vacations. We kind of go in search of other people's vacations. And in this case, as you're going to find out a little bit later on in the program, we have uncovered some unknown things about a very unknown place in Hawaii, the island of Molokai. And we've uncovered a few things about the island of Maui, which is a place that, of course, many, many people have been over and over and over. And would you believe yesterday, Thomas, we visited a lily pad farm.
Well, very good. I didn't know they needed to be farmed. They...
There's a market, apparently, for lily pads.
Well, there you go. Well, all right. Before we listen into an interview that Mark recorded while he was there with a gal in Molokai, well, I guess we better get caught up on what's the world's going on in the travel news. Brandon, if you will, the travel news, bring it down a little bit. There he is, Mark on the phone with the travel news.
All righty. Thank you, Thomas. A surprise, says the headline, airlines offer more reward seats despite flying at higher capacity. This article on the website by an MSNBC contributor seems to indicate that it has promising news for prospective travelers. Overall, reward seat availability has improved in recent years, says the report. 23 frequent flyer programs were analyzed on reward availability for travel dates spanning from June to October 2012 and showed steady improvement compared with the two preceding years. This is terrific news for consumers, I think. Maybe.
I don't know.
Sort of.
Could
until
be.
You read down to about the fifth paragraph of the report, and you say the report was released on Thursday by IdeaWorks Company, a Shorewood, Wisconsin-based consulting firm for the airline industry.
Well, of course.
Well, isn't it amazing that the reports came out a little bit higher? But it's also amazing to report within this report that, remember, the airline, their own group commissions, so you would kind of expect it to favor them. It's very interesting in a couple of ways, Tom, because in the last couple of years, a couple of the airlines have changed their frequent flyer programs from being miles-based, in other words, you got credit for the miles you flew, to being revenue-based. You got credit for the amount you paid for your ticket. This is wonderful news for people who fly at the last minute and pay lots of money. It's very bad news for those of us who try to get the very cheapest ticket and go as inexpensively as possible. But it is eminently more fair, I think, probably to people. And Southwest and JetBlue went to those systems in the last couple of years. The reason that's important to note is because they are the two that rank the highest in terms of seat availability in this little survey that the airlines did of themselves, in essence. So Southwest and JetBlue are on revenue-based systems, which means you go online and you use your currency, your points, to be able to get a ticket based on how much the ticket costs at the time you go to get it. If it's on sale, you get a good price. If it's a last minute, you don't. Their availability is quite good. On the other hand, three of our main characters, American, U.S. Airways, and Delta have less than 50% availability according to this survey, and Delta is last among every single airline at 27%. So I might suggest that even in a survey that the airlines do themselves that would make them look as good as it possibly could, it still doesn't make some of them look very good. They say that this survey goes on to say that, boy, they're doing wonderful things. But Tim Winship, who is a reporter for SmarterTraveler.com, and we're always trying to make our folks a smarter traveler, Tim says that he's shocked that Delta is still at the bottom. This is the third year in a row that Delta has finished on the bottom of this particular survey that's done by the airlines themselves again. So if you were a Delta frequent flyer, I have to tell you that the airline's own survey shows that Delta frequent flyer seats are only available half as often as American, a third as often as United, and a fourth as often as Southwest and JetBlue. So take it for a grain of salt, if you will, but it certainly is an interesting piece of information. Tom, you ever out there trying to get a frequent flyer ticket?
Oh, yes. You know, I like to go after them by how many miles I fly and not how much I spend.
And like most people, you probably find that those 25,000-mile tickets are real hard to come by, and that's a little bit of a bait and switch to get you into the restaurant and upsell you to the steak from the hamburger. All right, let's see here. Sacramento, you probably saw this story in the news last Saturday. It was on the front page of the Sacramento Bee. It got a lot of coverage. The Sacramento Airport has applied to use private contractors for security instead of TSA. This is a program the government has allowed a handful of airports to try a few years ago. They really haven't allowed very many since then, but I think what is perhaps most interesting about this story, once again, you have to kind of read behind the lines. It starts out by saying Sacramento International Airport wants to dump its airport, its federal security screeners, and replace them with private contractors. But why would you do that? Well, airport officials say they're confident that the non-TSA people would be friendlier and potentially would get flyers through security faster. They want to enhance customer service. It might be also interesting to note that San Francisco uses a private security firm. They're one of 10 airports, actually 5 airports in the country that are allowed. Kansas City is another one. So it seems to work okay where it is. But the other interesting thing is that TSA supervises the people. They maintain the controls. They do all the hiring. They provide all the supervision. They use all the TSA protocols and equipment. The people even wear TSA-type uniforms, so it's hard to understand here. I think if you read between the lines, you can see that the people at the Sacramento Airport may very well have some issues with the way TSA is providing customer service to people in Sacramento. Wouldn't that be the way it sounds to you, Tom?
It does. You know, if he's wearing a TSA uniform, I expect him to be a federal employee. I don't expect a private group to, I don't know, I'm not real crazy about this idea.
Yeah, I'm not either. Sacramento Airport officials said they met with TSA 2 weeks ago in Washington to make their case and came away uncertain about TSA's intentions. The airport spokesperson said they weren't very forthcoming. Well, of course, that's a government bureaucracy you're dealing with. And I'm a guy who has never really had any big issues with TSA, but it is a big bureaucracy now. It's a lot of people, a lot of jobs, and it's like any other large business or government agency. It's going to be harder to control. Anyway, interesting story to follow, and I promise you that to our listeners that we will get someone from the Sacramento Airport to be on with us in the weeks to come to give us a little bit better idea, as much as we can drag out of them, as to why it is that they're in search of this change. And finally, it looks like you're going to be able to use your cell phone in the sky soon under some circumstances if you have enough money. Virgin Atlantic has announced that they are going to allow they're equipping their aircraft on long-haul flights from London to New York, Los Angeles to New York, to be able to use cell phones in flight. Couple of catches, only 10 calls can be used at any given time, according to the unit that they will have on board to handle the calls, and you're going to pay international roaming rates, which if you know anything about international roaming rates for cell phone calls, you know that that bill will add up very, very quickly.
Only the rich, those three people on the plane that can afford it, will be using it. I'm kind of fond of that idea. I'm not crazy about being on a plane with a bunch of people yapping away on their cell phones.
I'm with you, Thomas. I can't even imagine being caught up with somebody. I mean, can't you imagine being next to the Valley Girl for 3 hours? And just it's beyond recognition. Anyways, we have a big show coming up. And we're going off to the island of Molokai. So why don't I let you take it from here, Thomas, and we'll talk to the folks in just a moment.
Now, you got it, Mark. Mark's in Hawaii, and we will be checking out that interview on the other side of the break. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Don't you move.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
You know, there's just something about seeing Mark Hoffman hanging 10, taking on the big wave in Hawaii. It'd be something I'd like to see, you know. We are the Travel Guys. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman in Hawaii. And, you know, we all know how much Mark loves the island of Hawaii and how much he enjoys finding something other travelers have overlooked. Now, this week he went to a place that, well, holds some special memories for me, the island of Molokai. Hawaii's least visited island, and a little later on I'll show you share my mule ride experience down to Father Damien's historical site. But before we do that, while Mark was on the island, he spoke with Julianne Baiko, who is the director of tourism of the island.
Julie, you've been in tourism here in Molokai, you told me, for 8 years, and you've lived on the island for longer than that.
About 35 years.
Wow. So you're almost a native. I would think 35 years would almost qualify you as a native here.
Well, I am a native Hawaiian. I'm born in Oahu.
Wow.
And then moved here 35 years ago. Married a local boy.
Yeah.
And I'm here.
How many people live on Molokai?
About 7,500 people.
Okay. And this and so they're obviously very spread out. This is mostly a rural community.
Correct.
And so for people who come to Molokai, and we've been talking about some really exciting things like a lady who makes sea salt and local going to local farms, and of course the story of Father Damien and stuff. There's a lot to do here.
There is. As you can see when you came in yourself,
yeah,
just finding our little town can be very interesting. You know, one of the first things I like people to do is go through our town, because there are a lot of interesting things, interesting people. You'll have a hard time walking away from them because we want to talk story.
And in Hawaiian, that means they want to tell you all about where they live. Talking story is basically shooting the BS, but in a more dignified fashion.
Yes.
It's and this is the first thing I thought of when I came into town. Help me pronounce it.
Kauna Kakai.
See, that's why I needed your help.
Yes.
And immediately I thought, Hilo, only smaller without the rain. So for people who really want to experience a slice of real Hawaii, this is it right here.
Yes, we are one of the last of the islands, and we've got great things to see. We've got fish ponds and hikes to, well, I guess, you know, a hike to a historical valley is what we really have. And that's probably one of the features that I like to talk about, as well as the hike down to Kalaupapa.
The Father Damien story here is the thing that most people will know Molokai for. And I'm sure that's what attracts a lot of the visitors here. And it's a big piece of the history here.
Yes. And, you know, Father Damien became a saint in October 2009. We have another saint coming up, Sister Marianne Cope. So in October 21st, she will become our second saint for Molokai.
Wow, that's pretty. I'm guessing there probably are not too many communities this size that would be able to lay claim to two saints.
Yes, and within a short period of time. 2009, we're in 2012. That's a very short window to have two saints come out of this small island.
And that doesn't count Julie, who is the saint of tourism.
No.
Molokai. All right, before we go, if someone is coming to Molokai on their own, You have hotels here. You have restaurants. There are accommodations for tourists. There's an airport. You can rent a car. I mean, we need to tell people these things. This is not, while it is a more remote part of the islands, all of the services that you would need to have a good visit are available to people.
If people like to watch the sunrise, I'd send them to the east. They want to watch the sunset, go to the west. So they have these options, you know. And if they want to just be able to go to both, stay in town.
Imagine, those of you listening to this on the radio right now, imagine the lady sitting here telling me, if you want to watch the sunrise, you go to eat. If you want to watch the sunset, there are probably not too many places like that in the United States. Chris and I are going to head out and discover a little bit of Molokai today, and I really look forward to the opportunity to bring some visitors here. I feel like I've discovered the off-the-beaten-track place in Hawaii I've been looking for a long time.
Well, good. So, you know, other places you can find us is on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay.
And then you can always go to our website, which is www.molokai-hawaii.com.
All right, that's good. And we'll put a link to that on our website in case you're driving around town listening to the Travel Guys and you would like to find out a little bit more about Molokai. Julie and I first met at the New York Times Travel Show a few months ago, and we did a lovely little interview on a very bustling, busy floor, and then somehow it technically got lost. So I came all the way here to Molokai to get my next interview. So, and when I come back, I'm going to bring lots of people, and you'll be down at the dock to meet us, I'm sure.
Yes, all just right. Let me know when you're coming.
You know, Molokai is, was one of the very first places on the islands that I ever went to, Mark. I went there to visit my father-in-law who had moved from Sacramento to the Big Island, right there in Kona.
Uh-huh.
And when we went, Jack says, well, what do you want to do when you come? I says, well, you know, a little golf, maybe some horseback riding. So when we got there, he says, well, I couldn't find you horseback riding, but I got you a mule ride. But you're going to have to fly over to this little island called Molokai, okay? And honest to God, Mark, that's all we really knew was we were going to go to this island, and somewhere there was going, and we didn't even know where the mule ride went, okay? So we get there, we see there was a brand new Sheraton on the island at the time. In fact, I think it may be the place that you're staying now with a different name.
Yes, the old Sheraton, for those who were in Molokai in the old days, is now known as the Hotel Molokai and really represents the only decent accommodations on the island. But go on with your story.
Anyway, the mule ride, after it rained for 2 days solid, they finally went on it despite the fact that there was a lot of muddy ruts on a switchback trail with no railing. And mules are not—they're not like donkeys. They're huge. They're bigger than horses.
Uh-huh.
And so they put us on these mules. We're wearing ponchos because it's still raining. And down this trail we go. The whole time you know we're under the impression that you were steering this mule, but I'm going, well, I don't really know how to drive a mule, but I seem to be doing okay. And then pretty soon all of us realized that if we just let go of the reins, the mule will go where they need to go. So down this little switchback trail, quite a ways, down to the peninsula, to the island there where Father Damien and all the leopards were, and we heard the stories about how that back hundreds of years ago they would just pull the boats up quite a ways offshore and just throw the leopards over, and those that made it to the island survived. And then Father Damien, of course, coming there and creating the mission and taking care of the people there, and it was pretty fascinating.
It's really a fascinating story, you know, and you can go now on the islands. You can still do what you did. You can still take that mule ride down there. Some people still live in what used to be the leper colony, is now a National Historical Site, and Tom, they have, in 1969, they stopped sending people there. Of course, we all know from medical advances now that there are ways to treat leprosy, and it's known by a different name now, and it's not nearly as scary of a disease as it was. But the folks who were there, who had been treated there, were invited to spend the rest of their lives there, and some of them still live there. There's a small community, and you can go to an overlook and see it. You cannot go to the community except at the request of, at the invitation of someone who lives there. So it is still somewhat isolated. It has its own landing strip and stuff. But you can see from a beautiful overlook, you can see the second community. The first one is, the original spot is kind of underneath you. But we found, as I mentioned in that interview, all kinds of interesting things. A lady who makes her own sea salt. There was an organic farm there that will do a taste testing of all kinds of different Hawaiian-grown fruits and vegetables and things like that for folks who come. Molokai doesn't really have a tourism infrastructure. In fact, there are a lot of people on the islands who would rather that tourism go away on that island. But the beauty of that is that for those who do go there and are willing to, you know, they don't have big fancy resorts. They have one hotel that I would, you know, I'd give it a couple of diamonds maybe on a good day. Very nice man who runs it, and they seem like very wonderful people. So we felt like a short stay on the island combined with a visit to Maui, if you're a sports leisure traveler out there and you sense a new adventure coming up, and even if you're not, yes, indeed, we are working on a brand new adventure that includes the islands of Maui and Molokai.
The bride-to-be, Erin Haight, less than a week, coming up with the news. Mark, right after the news, what are we going to do?
Well, we're going to, after the news, we are going to talk a little bit about, we're going to shift to try to make you a smarter traveler and talk a little bit about rental cars. And also, in the last week or so, I personally have gotten a couple notices, one from Marriott, one from Amtrak, that offered me some bonuses that I thought were really spectacular until I started to respond to the request and found out that there was something, some things attached to it that I didn't know about. So we want to kind of alert people to a new sort of travel. I don't know if I call it a scam, but certainly it's in a marginal area, which will be coming up after the news. And, of course, beautiful Erin there, she is getting ready to get married next weekend.
Yay, 6 days, but who's counting?
Oh, beautiful Erin. So we won't see you next weekend. I'm guessing you're taking the weekend off.
I am, but I'll text you guys pictures.
Oh, well, we will put them on the Travel Guys website, we promise.
Sounds good.
All right, more to come. Erin with the news next. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. You're on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Erin, were you hoping for really hot weather for your wedding? Have you looked at the long range?
I have looked at the long range. It's been a very scary.
What, like 73?
We have like 73 and possible showers.
Oh, my God. How about Sunday?
Sunday looks, of course, perfect for your daughter's wedding. So that's good. Mine, not so much.
All right. Back to back to Hawaii, where Erin will be going. We're not going to say when because we don't want crowds.
No, we don't want crowds. But, yeah, we will be in Oahu.
Does it bother you, Erin, with those autograph seekers and everything? I mean, because isn't that just sort of a nuisance?
No, it's not, because I know where I came from, Mark. I'm not going to be all Angelina Jolie about
this,
okay?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not going to see you now before you get hitched, so I please consider this my official good well wishing.
Oh, thank you.
To your husband.
Of course.
Are you going to be renting a car on your honeymoon?
We're going to rent a car probably a couple of days.
Okay. Well, you probably should stay close by the radio because
yeah,
Mark's
you
going
need to pay attention here.
All right. I'm listening.
We have all the way from Hawaii here where lots of people rent cars, including Erin, if not too long. We have just some hidden car rental fees. When you go to rent a car, there are lots of different ways that they stick it to you. And a smart, savvy traveler who sticks to their guns can save themselves a few dollars. For example, did you know that if you rent at an airport, you're going to pay, air car rental companies pay what's called an airport concession fee. They pay a fee to be able to do business at the airport, and they pass that fee on to you. Usually it's around 7, 8, 9%, but it's added to the cost of your rental, and it can be even more than that. And it's not the same at every airport. For example, if you fly into Chicago, you will find a huge airport concession, they call it concession recovery fee. And in Milwaukee, 60 miles to the north, you'll find that fee is not nearly as big. So if you're renting a car, and it's based on the amount of the rentals, if you're renting a car for a week or an extended period of time, you could be looking at a serious chunk of cash there from the airport fee. Another thing is, if you have anybody under the age of 25 in your group, why, then you're going to have to be careful about most car rental companies charge a surcharge for people under the age of 25, particularly for males under the age of 25. So that's
you know how irresponsible they can be.
Yeah. Fortunately, Erin doesn't have to worry about that.
Right.
Fuel charge. You know, they always offer you the opportunity to either buy their gas, and they'll fill it up for you at a slightly under retail rate when you come back. Of course, you're buying the whole tank of gas. So unless you are reasonably comfortable that if you think the car's got a 16, 18-gallon tank and you're going to use 85, 90% of that, otherwise you're going to pay a huge premium for them to refill. For example, here on Maui, it would be almost impossible for somebody to use an entire tank of gas. When we went to Molokai for the day, they offered to pre-sell us 1 gallon of gas. And when I laughed, the lady said, trust me, you won't use more than that.
Interesting.
So be careful of those fuel purchase things. If you really are confident you're going to use at least one full tank of gas, then it's not a bad deal. But otherwise, it's something to it's a cash cow for the car rental companies. Collision damage waiver, all of those insurances that they have. Check with your own insurance company before you go traveling, but you will often find that most of those coverages that they're trying to sell you are already a part of the automobile insurance that you pay for at home, so you don't need to buy them on the road. And no matter what the person tells you at the counter, Tom, about, you know, well, you're going to be responsible for all this liability, and they're going to lay some really heavy things on you that are going to just sound terrible, and they're going to do it in such a way, and some of them are really good at it. Did I say enterprise? Are really good at laying this out to you in a way that makes you think, wow, maybe everything I've been told is not quite right. Everything you've been told is quite right. Do your homework. Don't pay for a lot of insurance coverage. Sometimes it's as much as $20 a day. And keep in mind that oftentimes the guy who's selling or gal who's selling you that coverage is getting a commission for selling you that coverage. If you have an extra driver, if you're planning on splitting the driver, be aware of the fact that the cheaper the car, in other words, if you go to a second-tier company like a Dollar or a Budget or a Thrifty, they're going to charge you for everything extra. You're going to pay for every person, everything along the way, including a second driver, whereas oftentimes if you go to a Hertz or a National or an Avis, there won't be a charge for a second driver because you may have paid more to start with. Believe it or not, if you were to return the car early, you may have to pay an extra fee because you've not rented the car for as long as you said that you would. So take a look at the contract, make sure that that doesn't exist, because, or make sure that you've discussed it or mitigated or considered it if you're thinking about returning the car free. And another thing I tell folks is, if you're flying into an airport and you're going to spend the night at that airport, remember you can check the car out the next day, use the free airport shuttle. You may be able to save yourself a 24-hour cycle on a car, and especially if you're flying in, say, on a Thursday, you can take it out on Friday. Now you may be on a weekend rate instead of where before you would have paid a weekday rate for the entire weekend. So something to think about.
Mark, I have to chime in here.
All right.
Yeah, thank you for telling the birds to chirp up a bit, because we heard them just then. Look, I wanted to ask you, if you are going to be on a vacation where you're going to be, you know, in your rental car for 5 or 7 days, how about weekly rates versus by the day?
Well, weekly rates, Tom, are generally about 4.5 times the daily rate. So you'll find that in most cases, if you're renting a car for 5 days, the weekly rate will be cheaper. But you make a valid point here. Don't expect the car company to point that out to you. They may very well rent you a car for 5 days at $99, which, let's call that $500, whereas the weekly rate may be $449. And then you say, well, wait a minute, I'm taking it back 2 days early. So that's what you want to ask the car rental company is, I want the weekly rate. I'm going to bring this car back after 5 days. Is that kosher? I mean, you want to make sure that's okay. But, yes, generally weekly rates are better. And oftentimes you can, if you nose around on the Internet and stuff, you can oftentimes find $20, $30, $40 off. You have to also be careful of your airline will send you a thing that says your trip is coming up, here, get a 20% discount on your rental car. Oftentimes you will find that the rates that those are based on are rack rates that are very high, and even with your discount, you may be better off to call and take a AAA discount or something, because the airline may be using a higher base rate. Does that make sense?
Yes.
A higher rate to start with to charge you. So it's not going. So even with a greater percentage off, it's not going to be as good of a deal. So that's something. Don't be deceived by the amount of the percentage off. It's like going to a jewelry store. You know, you want to know what the bottom line price pretty much is.
Mark, oftentimes I would like to rent a specific kind of car, but almost in all cases, every time you go to rent ahead, I say I want to reserve a car for this vacation a week away, and they say we'll put you in a mid-size to full-size automobile, and you try to ask for a specific one, and you get told that you can't do that because they don't know what's going to be available. If somebody wanted to rent a specific kind of automobile, how would they go about doing that?
Well, the car rental companies will allow you, of course, to pick in an ascending level the type of car that you want. If you want a convertible, you're going to pay a lot more for it. I have always found that it is way better to pick a midsize or a full-size car, and which is kind of in the middle. And when you get there, oftentimes you will find that you can get an upgrade. I mean, many times I get a car with a satellite radio in it, or with a GPS in it, or a couple of times I've even gotten a convertible. I put in my record no SUVs requested because I think they're gas guzzlers. Now, of course, if I were traveling with a family, that would be a whole different situation. But since I'm usually a businessman by myself, or perhaps with one other staff member with me, I'm looking at mileage, car mileage, as opposed to being able to. So, yes, you can request the type of car ahead of time, but also National has a deal, and Hertz is now copying it, where if you belong to their frequent renter program, even if you don't have much status, you can take, it's called, you know, take any car in the aisle that you like. So you're not going to get a Rolls Royce for the price of a Toyota, but you do have some flexibility in the cars that you take.
Go ahead.
A couple of other things here quickly on my list. You know how much I love lists. By the way, all of this information can be found by just going to travelguysradio.com. And by going there also, we posted some great links to some popular frequent flyer. So if you're a frequent flyer geek and you like the guests that we have on this program from time to time, go to travelguysradio.com and you'll see things for MilePoint and Flyer Talk and all of those great places. Anyway, back to rental cars. Stadium tax. Oftentimes, why we haven't done this in this city, we've talked about this on the air several times, but when you go to some cities, Seattle, Houston, Pittsburgh, Dallas, or a few that are Phoenix that I can think of, you're going to see something that says stadium tax or downtown arena tax or something like that. Indeed, that's right. You as a traveler are helping them to pay for their community facility in town. Also, if you're going to take frequent flyer miles, be aware of the fact that the car rental companies almost universally charge you for that privilege. They charge you 50 cents or a dollar a day. So if you're on a really cut-rate rental car, you may actually find that you're paying more for the frequent flyer miles than they're worth. So monitor that. If you're somebody who likes miles, points, whatever, it may be better to take credits in that company's frequent renter program and get a free rental after 10 times rather than pay for your frequent flyer points. And finally, there's a vehicle licensing fee that shows up on your bill. This is something that's popped up in the last few years. It's another unavoidable charge. It's just the car rental companies have decided that they can pass on to you the cost of licensing the vehicle in the state or country that they do business. So it's a legitimate charge, and there's not anything that you can do about it, but it's something that, you know, is not going to come up when you're first thinking about the initial price of the car. And finally, Tom, before we go, I just want to quickly tell folks, literally take a couple seconds here. These are things that have come to me online in the last week or so. One came from Amtrak. It offered me a huge bonus of points in their frequent traveler program if I went online and filled out a survey. When I got to the third question in the survey, I found out that the questions were no longer about Amtrak. They were about what my financial habits were. And when I didn't answer the questions properly, the survey cut me off. When an employee tried the survey and gave them the answers they want, the survey went right on through. So be careful. That's at least one instance where Amtrak was using its mailing list to extract information that obviously you were giving them permission to share when you filled out the survey in exchange for the points. Marriott later in the week, a similar type of kind of a bait and switch thing, sent out a special offer, 7 nights in Hawaii for the price of 4 if you're a frequent traveler, but it turned out that there was a very arduous cancellation policy attached to it, and that also you had to agree to a timeshare thing in order to be able to get all of that. So since you can generally get a couple nights free at a resort in exchange for going to a timeshare thing, 7 for the price of 4 doesn't sound quite so good anymore. So just be careful. It appears as though the people that do these things have figured out a way to come after us, those of us who like miles and points and stuff, and disguise it in a way that is not readily apparent to the naked eye.
All righty. Coming up, Greg Willett joins us from the Sacramento Music Festival right here on the Travel Guys. Mark, you got some a sports leisure vacation update for me.
I have just a real brief update. Our two lucky Travel Club member listeners for this weekend who receive $100 in travel cash if they call our office before the close of business Tuesday, Carol Krolek and Pat Owen. Carol Krolek and Pat Owen. You have won $100 just for listening in travel cash, just for listening to the Travel Guys radio program. And a reminder to our Sports Leisure Travel Club members that your newsletter is in the mail, or it will be available after 9 a.m. Monday at sportsleisure.com.
And after we talk with Greg about the Sacramento Music Festival, be standing by for the cue to call and the cue to go to travelguysradio.com for your chance to win two 4-day all-event badges.
Well, it's hard to believe it's been an entire year. It's Memorial Day weekend next weekend, and it'll be time again for another music festival in Old Sacramento. This year, there's a few twists and a few changes. And again, with me on the program, Greg Willett. He's in charge of public relations and marketing and such. And, Greg, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Yeah, happy to be back, Tom. Thanks for having me.
It's been a whole year. Probably been a lot of things going on in regards to the development of this year's festival. Some things have changed. Tell me what people can expect that's going to be a little bit different at the Jazz Festival. Let's start with the name.
I'd say the biggest change is the name this year.
Okay.
It's the Sacramento Music Festival.
All right. The name Jazz Festival no longer part of the name.
Absolutely right. 39 years we've been going.
Really?
This year, last several years, we've had a number of different styles of music. And for years, as you know, we've called it the Jazz Festival and the Jazz Jubilee and any number of names, but jazz has always been part of the title. We still have a lot of jazz music down there. And I say down there, in mostly in Old Town, Sacramento. But there we have rock, we have Zydeco, we have blues, country, a little western swing. There's a little bit of everything for everyone. So this year chose to change the name to really identify it more as what the event actually is. 30%+ will still be traditional jazz. We have some musicians coming from overseas this year, some international players. Still, frankly, the grandfather of traditional jazz festivals in this country, and frankly have some of the best jazz musicians on the planet playing with us this Memorial Day weekend.
Now, has there been any backlash at all in the either the music community or those that that come that know about the change in the name?
There are, you know, certain people would still like to see it called the Dixieland Jubilee, but of course we haven't been that for many years. There's always with change, you know, some people aren't thrilled about it, but I think most people accept the fact that things do change, and most importantly, that the title now represents really that it really is an all-encompassing music festival.
Tell me about the bands that you're bringing to town. How many, what do we have, local groups, out-of-town groups?
Combination of both. Upwards of 800-plus musicians this year. I think there's 14 youth bands this year. We have some acts where we've hired some fabulous jazz musicians that are known in their own right, especially in the traditional styles. Those folks, we create groups with those folks out here, so they're playing in a number of different venues and in a number of different ensembles. And then, like I said, we've got a variety of everything else. Mick Martin's a crowd favorite, of course. Mick's back this year and headlines our blues party. But like I said, again, a little of everything for everyone. If you like rock and roll, come on down. We're going to have some of that as well.
Now, are you going to, the way it's set up in Old Town, do you have certain regions of Old Town that represent certain styles of music?
It's really, each venue will have a variety of styles.
So give us some suggestions for Sacramento Music Festival goers this year to make it a great experience.
I would say the first stop would go to sacmusicfest.com. Go to the website. The entire schedule is there. And so if you like a particular style of music, you can search the website by style, see what it is you like, and make a little game plan of who you want to see and when you might want to see them. That would be my first recommendation.
Okay. Now, ticket prices.
Ticket prices,
gone up?
Same as they were last year. Actually, the last couple of years, they have not increased. $110 buys you a pass to get you all 4 days, Friday through Monday, and $45 for a daily pass on Saturday, $45 for a daily pass on Sunday, and discounted rates for the Friday and the Monday of the event.
And discounted rates for seniors over 60?
Yes.
And youth as well?
Exactly right.
All right. And the best way to get tickets?
You can go just to the event itself. Go down to Old Town. We have a number of trailers. Can't miss them. They're clearly identified. Or you can go to the website and order through the website. That probably your best two options right there. I was going to suggest going to the office, but it might be a little crazy next week. So,
parking and transportation.
We do have shuttles that will take people from the venues in Old Town. We do have a few venues just outside of Old Town, the Holiday Inn and the Sheraton Ballroom, down the convention center area. So you can hop aboard for $5. You can get on the shuttle. Then that'll take that actually is a 4-day pass. You can ride the shuttle as much as you want. And parking, there are some, they're pretty clearly identified parking structures downtown. Parking's always a challenge in Old Town.
And don't forget now, that's next Memorial Day weekend. And if you'd like to go, thanks, Greg. If you'd like to go, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll take the first caller right now at, KFBK at our 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. First caller is going to win 4 all-day event badges, and we'll take the fourth person to go to Travel Guys Radio, where? TravelGuysRadio.com. And what? Fill out the word ticket? Is that what you want
to do? Yeah, send me a message that just said, just put the word ticket. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com and put the word ticket. The fourth message that comes through to me, you will be the winner.
Well, next weekend, you know, Mark, you're going to have a special guest because I'm going to be a little busy.
Henry Bernanke, our favorite pilot from Virgin America Airways, is going to join us in studio because I'm going to need some help because you are going to be quite busy yourself.
Yes, my my daughter Amanda is coming in. Family's all going to be here a week from today. In about 2 hours, she will be marrying the wonderful Jacob Elling. She will become Mrs. Elling, and I will be crying.
Well, and you will maybe be
I'll
a grandpa
be a wreck.
Someday. And Aaron is getting married, so the bells are
day
going
before.
To be going to be ringing around there next week. My congratulations to you and your family, and to Aaron. And I think
thank
that's
you.
Just all wonderful. We will all be ready for the reports, and of course, I plan to do the radio show, and then
Come to the wedding.
Then come to the wedding. Absolutely. So we're going to have a great time. A reminder to if you want those two music festival tickets, I'm seeing one entry so far. So the fourth entry at TravelGuysRadio.com. Just put the word tickets, and we will send them off to you.
What do we say, Mark? What do we say?
We are the Travel Guys, and remember, whether we're live in Hawaii or about to get married in Sacramento, an hour a week is all we ask.
You'll see Mark in a week, and you'll see me in 2. Have a great weekend, you guys. See you next time.